Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything.
Do you believe insurance companies overcharge you? Do you believe that you pay enough monthly and you should not have to pay a deductible when the coverage is needed? Unfortunately, deductibles are real. And we at We Pay All Your Deductibles offer you a warranty for about 1.5% monthly of the cost of your deductible to pay your deductible when you need it. We give back 25% back every 2 years if the time never arises. Sign up for our warranty and you will have one up on the high cost of insurance on your cars, homes, motorcycles, cell phones, and boats. We pay all your deductibles.
Welcome to the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z on Bashani Radio, iHeartRadio, and iTunes. Bashani Radio, always talking about everything from New York City. You can listen to the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z on any mobile phone or tablet device. The Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z, where we explore tech and enjoy the music. Please follow us online at www.ladyze.com and on all social networks at Lady Z. That's LadyZhe. My next guest is an extremely good vocalist. Her voice reminds me, if chocolate was a sound, this is what her voice sounds like and feels like to me. It reminds me so much of Anita Baker. Miss Mashawn is a proud native of Gary, Indiana. She has resided in Michigan for several years and considers Detroit her second hometown. She's a gifted psalmist and songwriter. And for those who don't know what psalmist means, psalmist is a minister of music, someone who sings music in the church, in bigger spaces. Mashawn has been singing and writing since the age of 12. She started her professional career by being hand-selected by one of the legendary Winans children, Pastor Marvin L. Winans, to sing background on his debut concert in Detroit, Michigan, for the release of his first solo CD titled Alone But Not Alone. I could go on and on about all the many accolades that she has accomplished, including all her chart positions. In 2015, her single Always Remember was ranked number one on the UK soul and jazz charts of best independent songs within the past 5 year period. And I mean, she's getting frequent airplay all over the world, Switzerland, Africa, London, beautiful places we all would love to go. Her music is there. That is so awesome. I just want to say welcome and good day to my guest, the fabulous, the talented, the beautiful and gorgeous, Mashawn Young. How are you today?
I am well, Lady Z. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. I'm just so excited and happy to have you on my show because your music is just so yummy. It's so yummy. I mean, I love that song, Something About You. I love that. It's just, whew.
Thank you. And thank you for having me too. Thank you so much.
Yeah, so, you know, I lived in Michigan for about 10 years, a little bit more than 10 years. So, you know, going from, you know, perfecting church and then having your own music, describe your journey. You've been writing since you were 12. Like, what drew you to music?
Gosh, you know, I think what drew me to music, my father used to moonlight as a DJ. And uh-huh. So he exposed me to so much, you know, so much music. And he and I used to listen to music as a child, just forever and ever. And storytelling, those who really were mm-hmm. storytellers in their music, I was drawn to that.
Right.
So, and to tones, to rich tones. So I started writing. My father used to tell me to journal a lot of thoughts because I didn't really say a lot or talk much, you know. And he would say, you know what, you need to get that stuff out, you know, because you keep a lot of things inside. So I started just journaling just stuff that was going on, you know, mm-hmm. from small things to even I would write about what I was seeing in my home or my aunt's mm-hmm. relationship. I don't know why I'm writing about relationships at a young age, but mm-hmm. I did. Love. I was writing about love at the age of 12 and 13. I think my first.
Oh, wow.
Song, yeah. I mean, not even experienced stuff. And I remember I wrote my first song, which was copywritten. My dad had that song copywritten. It was called Baby, I'm Leaving You. Now, at 12 and 13 years old, why am I writing a song?
But my dad had it copywritten.
Yeah, my dad.
Wow.
And we actually, I was in a group at the time, a teenage group, uh-huh. and we recorded a song. But I wrote that song because an aunt and uncle, who I was very fond of, they divorced. Mm-hmm. And I wrote about their relationship. So uh-huh. I was writing about all the stuff that I saw and right. the things I was going through as a teenager. So it was really starting it as just me putting journal stuff down and journaling stuff, and then they turned into songs. And I would hear these melodies. My mother played piano; mm-hmm. was a trained pianist. But I never learned how to. But I always could hear melodies and mm-hmm. structure a song, and it just started really writing. I just started again, just telling about my environment and what I saw, and that's how it started. And it just never went away.
Wow. So you go from being in a group as a tween, as they call it, a tween, not yet 13, a tween,
right.
to like going to traveling, singing backup, singing for the CD release concert for Marvin L. Winans. Now, for those who don't know, Marvin L. Winans is like good friends with Donnie McClurkin, another legendary gospel singer, and just BB and CC Winans. I mean, BFFs with Whitney Houston. I mean, it's like this whole universe of musical family connections. So what was that like? How did you get connected there?
It was crazy. I had, you know, I never thought about pursuing musically professionally, quite honestly. My dad always felt I should, but my mom, on the other hand, was like, you know, get your education, get your degree, and mm-hmm. live just a regular 9-to-5 life, and you'll be perfect. You'll be good. Right. So that's the route I took, and mm-hmm. You know, I got my degree and was, you know, doing well in corporate America, and then I joined the Perfecting Church. I moved to Michigan and then joined Perfecting Church, and honestly, when I moved there, I wasn't thinking about singing. I just really loved the word that was being, you know, fed to my spirit. Mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah. And I've actually been to Perfecting. I remember when I went, I sat in the balcony, and the music, yeah. the service is just so.
Yeah, it's high all the time. And, right. And funny, I sat in the balcony, actually in the balcony in the very last row on the left side.
I sat on the left side too.
I sat back there, and I actually, once I joined, you know, I joined, I think the hospitality department. So right. I was a greeter at the door mm-hmm. with my purple mm-hmm. sash for 7 years.
Wow.
I wasn't thinking about singing, but mm-hmm. I'm a spiritual person, and I felt that that God was telling me it was time to go back to using my gift. And mm-hmm. I never stopped writing, and I still would do weddings and things like that. But mm-hmm. again, it wasn't something that I really thought I could do, you know?
Wow.
What my degree would take me, I could do things there, you know? Right. But I didn't really think that I could do this professionally. So
wow.
I decided I think I had I was in prayer, you know, one evening, and mm-hmm. felt bad to join the choir, and so I joined the choir and sat again in the very last row in the back.
Right.
And then a young lady that was there heard me singing, and she was telling the choir director, you know, about me and so forth. Make a long story short, one evening, Pastor Winans, he would come to rehearsal every now and again, and I just happened, they asked me to do a song. And I did a song, and then probably less than 3 weeks later, he personally pulled me aside, and he said, listen, there's something special about your gift. I don't know why you're not using it, but I want you, you know, to be a part of this journey with me.
Wow.
I was blown away because I had.
I know. I can imagine how you felt, you know, Pastor Winans being like, you, come here.
Right.
Let me talk to you for a second.
Yeah.
And coming from him, I mean, he's such an accomplished.
Yeah. And a professional.
Psalmist himself.
Yeah. Yeah. And so many people join that church with the thoughts, not all, but a lot of
the intention of that conversation happening, yeah. I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was my intention. And, you know, I didn't desire that, you know, but I'm thankful because at the time I had not done anything professionally other than mm-hmm. just millionaire. And, you know, it had been, oh my gosh, when he personally he said, I'll call you. And I'm thinking, okay, Pastor Winans, you really gonna call me, you know? And this is what I'm thinking to myself. And true enough, when I got the call and he's on the phone, it was just dead silence. He's like, okay, so let me just, since you obviously, cat's got your tongue, because I literally was speechless when he
right.
But thereafter, he became a mentor, and I was blessed to do duets with him at many places. And gosh, it was an amazing experience. So because I really started doing music, and I remember one rehearsal, he said, he took a piece of paper out and he sat it in front of me and he said, write your name here because I want to be the first to get your autograph because one day you're going to be doing that. And I'm like, Pastor, just, you know, call K Pastor. That's so okay.
Right.
And that I'm serious. And the first time someone asked me to sign my CD, I wept in front of them. And I know they thought I was absolutely crazy for that. But that moment was brought back to me.
Right.
And that's something that I'm living now. So he's mm-hmm. still, I call him friend, not just pastor, but still very special mm-hmm. to me.
Wow. I'm getting emotional just because, I mean, that's just, wow.
I still get emotional.
I'm getting emotional for you. Because, I mean, this is, you know, Pastor Winans is so highly respected and revered in the faith community and the music industry. And he's been a trailblazer and has a high standard.
Yeah, very much so. And I learned so much from him. You know, I learned mm-hmm. he's perfectionist. And what I respect the most was that he never made, with all the people he knew, you know, I remember when we were at Tyler Perry's house and on the front row was Oprah Winfrey and Detman and Sidney Tyson and Sidney Poitier you know, just all these wonderful people. He never made you feel as though you were beneath them or him. You know, if he were first class, we flew first class. If he stayed in five,
right?
Just very organized, structured, and he just down to earth. But yes, is he tough? Absolutely. And were rehearsals grueling? Absolutely. But
I could imagine.
Yeah, so worth it though. So worth it.
You have to be on your P's and Q's in the rehearsal with him. I can just imagine.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, because the way he rehearses, he's very hands-on. So we sit around the keyboard with him. And they're all
give you your note.
I'm sorry.
He'll sit at the piano, give you your note.
Yeah, yeah. He'll sit there, give you your note. And he gives it one time and say, sing, you know, he'll give you a line, you know, to sing and sing. But he creates little song, like when we were warming up, he would create just these songs off the cuff, mm-hmm. and right. get, you know, the harmonies, and you know, we're just sitting there around him like, you know, oh my gosh, this man is amazing, you know.
Right. But
I love those intimate sessions, and to this day I still listen to it. I had a recorder at the time.
So you recorded all of them?
Yeah, I recorded all of them and all of
wow.
the and all this stuff. So
if I were you, I would have recorded them too.
Yeah, got them all.
Wow. So there's something you said earlier I want to go back to. And you said that when you were younger, you were encouraged to pursue corporate America and didn't think about your gift. What made you make that shift besides, you know, what happened at church? I mean, there has to be something in you that, I mean, Pastor Juan is going to say that to you and you could have been like not receptive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I had, I felt, even though I was doing well in corporate America and I loved what I did, human resources mm-hmm. was just a part of my personality and being able to be, to help, you know, and mm-hmm. that, you know, that I was looking for something new, but I felt something missing. You know, I felt mm-hmm. there was something on the inside. So I started, as I told you, I'm a spiritual person. I started fasting and praying and mm-hmm. like, what, I need an answer, you know, what's mm-hmm. what's happening. And so finally, you know, it was just really placed heavily in my spirit. You're not using your gift. You know, you need to use your gift and you'll find fulfillment mm-hmm. once you use your gift.
Mm-hmm.
And I fought it because, you know, on one hand, my father, who absolutely believed in me and my writing abilities, even as a young child, the other side was, you know, a parent that believed you need more structure in your life, you know,
right.
and even though music was very much a part of her life, she mm-hmm. didn't necessarily want that for mine.
Mm-hmm.
So it was hard. I had this tug of war, I think, most of my life, because a part of me loved mm-hmm. music to the mm-hmm. point where, you know, every day I'd come home from work and I would spend hours with a brush, you know, in my hand or something, you know, singing and mm-hmm. writing and all that kind of stuff. So it never left, you know, but mm-hmm. it was the fear of, you know, as my mother would say, you know, why would you do something that's so uncertain, mm-hmm. you know,
right,
stick with,
right,
you know,
right, the predictability.
Right, mm-hmm. right, right, yeah. right. So yeah. For me, the awakening came through much prayer, through much fasting, and through just making a decision that I'm going to live my life doing what I enjoy, you know, mm-hmm. and I'm not going to concern myself with the other stuff. You know, I'm not going to worry about the other stuff, because I believe now that when you're using what God gives you, that he'll make ways for other areas of your life to make sure mm-hmm. you're good. And ever since then, that piece of me that I felt was missing years mm-hmm. ago for many, many years has been found and placed in such a big way that I don't miss what I used to do at all. This is what I feel like. And every time I'm in front of an audience, I get more and more excited about being able to express myself in a way that for many years I've not been able to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's
awesome. That's awesome. So I want to zoom in on the one song that I've known of for a few years. And I finally listened to it and I was just blown away. Something About You. How did that song come about?
You know, we were sitting around and mm-hmm. just playing with some notes. And I heard just something that I kind of vibed to. And I was, you know, singing something so smooth. And I would just say that.
Can you sing a little bit of it? Sing a little bit of that again.
Something so smooth about you.
Oh, I love that. I love that note. I love that melody. That's so pretty.
And I was playing around with it. And then uh-huh. Finally, my producer said, you know, why don't you finish that? Write something about what you like. And mm-hmm. well, I like pepper goatees. So I decided to put that in the hook. And from then on, it was just easy. But on the other side of that, I realized that there's not a lot of songs that really speak to that mature season, gentlemen. Mm. And that's what the song really is, you know, because I think men think that as they get older, they, you know, they always feel like they have to go back and try to be their younger selves. And my message is no, you're good just the way you are. In fact, you're better now because you're wiser, you're more mature,
you
at least you should, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's kind of why I wanted to continue on that path. I put in what I liked, the song mm-hmm. OT part, but I also to make my more seasoned, mature gentleman understand that we see you in creation.
That's awesome. Yes, shout out to all our seasoned gentlemen. Shout out to my dad.
Shout out to your
seasoned gentlemen. Yep. So what has it been like, you know, something about you, you have the other song, Always Remember, like, what is your creative process like? And what does it feel like when your music is being so well received internationally?
Wow. It still blows my mind. Honestly, I was blessed to travel to London last year for the first time to perform. And I performed at Cadogan Hall in London. And, you know, when you're in front of people, you know, in another country, and you don't know how well you'll be received. You know, I knew that my music was doing well, but now I'm here, you know. Mm-hmm. So I remember just deciding I'm just going to let it go and let it all out and close my eyes on a particular song as I performed. And when I opened my eyes, the room was standing, and being the sensitive person I am, I just kind of just took the moment in and looked and just, like, you know, tears just flow because I'm thinking, how did this happen? How did I go from being so comfortable in of corporate America, and then now I'm singing to an audience who's standing up for me and asking for more?
Wow.
It just absolutely still blows my mind to be able to put things out that, in getting emails and text messages saying this lyric, you know, meant something to me, or your song did this to me or did that to me, because that's what this journey is about. It's I'm very conscientious about my lyrical content, and it's messages, you know, in most of the songs I have. Some of them are fun and playful, but a lot of them, I consider myself, you know, just a person. So I write about the good, bad, the indifference of love. And it's amazing to see how people are responding to it to this day. So I guess the only thing I can say to that is, as I am amazed, I write from the heart. I don't try to copy or try to go with what's hot, you know, right now. I just go by what I feel on the inside. Most of my songs are written in the midnight, late hour. That's when I write the most. I have my phone, my recorders near my bed, and I've gotten up at 2-3 in the morning and have, you know, written songs. And that's when I do my most work, really. Between the hours of 11 and 7 in the morning is when I write most of my songs.
11 and 7 in the morning. That sounds good to me. I understand. So, I mean, your music, I really encourage my listeners to check out your music and catch a show if you're, you know, in the area where, you know, you're listening. So I want to know from you, how can people connect with you online?
A few different ways. Facebook, obviously, Mashawn Young Music. Twitter at Mashawn Young Music. And then at Instagram as well. So, same thing at Mashawn Young. I think Mashawn Young 1 is my handle there. But yeah, and my website, www.mashawnyoung.com.
And that's spelled?
M-I-C-H-O-N Young, Y-O-U-N-G, as in young forever.
That sounds great. So we are at the part of the interview where I ask my two questions, a music question and a tech question. So. Okay. The music question first, Michael Jackson or Prince? Which one would you prefer?
God, Now, I am a Prince lover, but Michael Jackson is from my hometown, Gary, Indiana. So I got to go with my hometown crew, Michael Jackson. And then, you know, the guy was just absolutely amazing.
Okay. Okay. And so my tech question is, Apple or PC, which do you prefer?
Probably Apple. I think that's what I frequent most. So okay. Yeah, I'm gonna go with that.
You have your iPhone and your iPad and your...
They just make it so easy for you.
Right,
you
know, right.
It's just right. So convenient. It's just everything is there for you. And being on the road, mm-hmm. it helps to at the click of a button at the to anything. Apple is everywhere.
Right. So
more partial to Apple.
Okay, no problem with that. So I have one other question for you. So you mentioned that you have a producer that you work with on a regular basis. Now, what type of technology are you guys using in the studio to produce your music?
We use Studio One and Pro Tools. We use that, and we have a little home-based system that, you know, that we use. So I pretty much do my basics there. I love live instrumentation. So 95 to 98% of my projects will have live instrumentation, but we use everything starting with Studio One or Pro Tools initially. And then at that point, we chart it out and give it to the musicians when we actually go live in studio sessions.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Mashawn. You've been listening to the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady D, where we explore tech and enjoy the music. Thank you so much and have a great day.
Stay locked in and fully loaded. Bashani Radio and Verke Radio. They said we couldn't do it, but we global now, worldwide. Boom! In your face.